Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. We have such a wonderful liberty here. Praise God. If somebody ain't already got the Holy Ghost in this service tonight, you can get it right now. Amen. Amen. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise God, praise God. If you're here tonight, you don't have the Holy Ghost, make your mind up right now. You're going to take it home with you. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. Why go ahead living without what God has paid for with His own blood? Why go ahead carrying a weight of sin that keeps you away from God? Why go ahead allowing the devil to build a wall of doubt around you when Jesus said, "You shall"? Amen. Praise God. Amen. Why allow yourself to be pushed back from a trough and starving to death when God's got the food on the table and all He wants you to do is come and die? Hallelujah. Oh, praise the Lord. Amen. And I am fearful right now that I'm going to get in God's way tonight. Amen. I want Him to have His way. Praise God. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Praise God. Hallelujah. Well, praise the Lord. Amen. I feel like the Lord's directed the spirit of this service, and I still want to know when you're going to preach that message. I want to come back. Amen. Amen. I tell you, I wanted to get to hear Brother Rutledge. Only time I get to hear him when he's somewhere else. Because if I ever stop by here for any reason, why, you know, that's the way he puts me on the spot there. Amen. But since he has put the torch in my hand tonight, amen. Amen. God's word is a word that's got power. Amen. Hallelujah. The Bible said He sent His word and healed them. It's got power. Amen. Amen. And I believe tonight that if we'll accept His word, that He will certainly do exactly what He said He would do. And just taking for a few moments of time, I'd like to use the setting of Scripture that perhaps you have read before. And it's in the book of Deuteronomy chapter 32 and verse 11. As an eagle stirreth up her nest, fluttereth over her young, spreadeth abroad her wings, taketh them and beareth them on her wings, so the Lord alone did lead him, and there was no strange God with him. The Lord was talking about Israel at that particular time, but He used one of those beautiful object lessons and word pictures to demonstrate and to illustrate what He was talking about. And from this tonight, we'd just like to think on it for just a little while. As you think about an eagle, they are not born to walk around like some other a penguin or something like that, you know. Eagles are born, I said, they're hatched, but they're born to fly. They were made to fly. It is the design. They are designed to fly. Eagles can fly higher and see farther, they say, than any other bird. And the higher it flies, the farther it gets above the problems of this old world. Praise God. Amen. And so, as sometimes people are not, they don't fulfill what God designed for their life. That's right. It would be wonderful if God had us all rigged and He pushed the button and we'd do what we're supposed to do and go where we're supposed to go. We'd all go to heaven. But he's put some responsibility in our heart. But sometimes he knows how to push us in the right direction to get us to the place that we'll want to do something. We'll want to fly. We'll want to do what is seemingly stirring inside of us. I suppose that a little eagle on the nest surely already begins to feel there's something strange about these appendages on the side of his body. And he stretches them out a little bit there. And there's just something in there that he feels that maybe these are supposed to take him places. Amen. Especially as he sees the old eagle flying also. When a duck hatches out, the first thing it'll do, it'll go in the water. You can take a duck, the old mama duck and a bunch of little ones, and she jumps in the water, and they jump in the water, and they just swim along, and every one of them sound, act like they're just so contented and happy. You take an old setting hen and throw her in the water, and she don't like it. She's not made to go in the water. Isn't that right? Amen. But I'll tell you tonight, this story that the Lord gave concerning eagles and teaching a lesson to Israel said, I am doing with you, or I want to do with you as the eagle when the eagle stirreth up its nest. It stirred that nest and tore it apart so that the eaglets would get going in their flight. Even though they were pushed off the side of this high precipice, rock cliff, and floundered as they went down, the old eagle would sweep beneath them, bear them up on eagle's wings, the Bible said, and help them if they were trying. Amen. And a few rounds like that, and the little eaglet was able to do what it was made to do. Praise God. Hallelujah. Oh, there's so many people that live and die without ever fulfilling what God intended for their life. Amen. They walk across the face of this earth and you look at them and you know that they have never touched God in their life, and they've never tasted of heaven's gift, and they have never experienced the peace and joy of the blessing of God. They've never known what it was to be washed and made whiter than the snow. They have struggled and carried their heavy load on their back through their life and finally lay in a funeral home somewhere. And you look at them and you have to know that they never really lived, because they were intended for more than that. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. People allow themselves to get entangled in the blackness and darkness and corruption and filth of this world. That's not God's intention for their life. They are lured in there by somebody else that they're looking at, and what other people are doing. They really, if somebody else wasn't doing it, they never would have done it either. Amen. But they find themselves in a situation of moral degradation, or bound by the habits of alcohol or drugs, dope, and all of those kind of things, cigarettes. They followed somebody else and found themselves going down a dark tunnel, the wrong direction. And life is nothing but the dark shadows of misery and disappointment. And they try to cop out on it and hide out from it and skip out on reality and just daze themselves so they are not aware that surely they missed something. They missed the turn in the road. They missed what they were supposed to have done. They missed what they were made for. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. And some of them, I guess, think, you know, that's what they want. When I came to the Lord, 1948, of course, we were friends with some of those people and entertainers. A man by the name of Oney Wheeler. We'll use his name. Maybe you won't relate this story. I don't want to get around to where it might hurt somebody. But this man was on the radio in our part of the country. And one night, we were stopped by a railroad train while we was coming in from church. We'd been somewhere to sing, and they pulled up behind us with their band. We had to stand there in Malden, Missouri for 15 minutes to wait for the train to get through. And I said, "Oney, I've got something I'd like to give you." So I opened the trunk of my car. It was still in there, that old makeup kit that I used with the Maybelline that I put on my teeth. And all that other stuff that, just to get a laugh out of folks, you know. I said, "I won't need this anymore, and if you can use it, why, you're welcome to it." And then I told him about what God was doing, and I talked to him at that time and at other times. And he told me one time, he said, "Chuck, if I knew I could be happy like you are, I'd like to have what you've got." He went on to Nashville. He started working with Roy Acuff, played harmonica with him for years and years, and I guess became one of the most commonly used harmonica players in recording sessions on Recording Alley there, the main area where the different recording studios, Hilltop and what have you there. When they wanted a harmonica player on a recording session, they called Oney Wheeler. And I got back in the winter, I got thinking about him, and Brother Magruder had used him on his record when he made his record. And I called him. I got his phone number and called him. He just got out of the hospital from open heart surgery. Well, I wanted to write to him and send him. So I said, "Oney, if there's anything I can ever do for you and help you out in any way, any spiritual guidance that I can give you," I said, "God's been good to me through the years, and I'm happy about my serving God just like I was over 30 years ago when I last saw you. And if I can help you anyway," well, I can tell he was weak, you know, and he couldn't talk too much. And so that was that. But a month and a half after that, I got the word that he was dead. And so I called the number again, and his wife answered the phone. And I said, "Gene, I heard something. I hope it's not so, but I fear that it is. I heard that Oney passed away." She said, "Yes." Said he was doing a recording session at the recording studio with Jimmy Snow, and while he was in the second number in that recording session, he fell dead with a heart attack. And she said, "He died doing what he liked to do."
Hello.
Yeah, some of you know how I felt. Another one has slipped between my fingers forever that I had a burden for. And, oh, God, forgive me and help me, Lord, and don't hold it on my record. Please wash it in your blood. Amen. If somehow I'd have gotten my car and drove to Mount Juliet, Tennessee, out from Nashville and knocked on his door and begged him, if I'd have knew that was coming, that's what I would have done.
Sure, I believe it.
Amen. But the tragic thing, after all these years, that's all he knew about living, was doing that. I heard others say that he liked the fast lane a little bit, you know. And well, folks, they like to get soaked so they can feel good, even though they know they're going to feel bad afterwards, you know. Amen. But I thought, that's just another one that lived and died and never did find the purpose for which that God put him here. Amen. Amen. I know that, surely he had remembered. In fact, is what set me to thinking about it. He and Brother Magruder got to talking about Southeast Missouri, and he brought up my name and so on, and Brother Magruder related some of this to me, and I thought, that man still remembers what happened to us. That man is still affected by it, and surely there must have been a little something like there was in that nature of an eagle that, oh, maybe someday he'd like to fly, but it's so far to the ground. If he don't make it, how many times you ever heard people say, I'd like to live for God, but I don't think I can. I'd get right, you know, I get in church, but I don't think I can live it. And it's so far to the ground. I'm afraid to get out here and try my wings. I'm afraid I can't make it. Sinner friend tonight, if you are here, you better start trying your wings, because if you sit in that nest and die, it's going to be terrible. You'll never know what it means and why you were here if you let life go by without doing what God wanted you to do. Oh, God. Hallelujah. I'll have to tell you this. If you go to hell, you'll go to hell against the will of God. For he said it's not his will that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. He said, I stand at the door and knock. If any man will open the door, I'll come in and sup with him. He said, whosoever will, let them come and take of the waters of life freely. He said, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. And if you're lost, God once winked at ignorance, but now he commandeth all men everywhere to repent.
Amen.
I'll have to say, Father, if you are lost and tonight you're not ready to go, or if you're in the church and somewhere down the road you lose sight of God and lose out and go to hell, you'll do it against the will of God. You'll do it against the call of the Spirit. You'll do it against the heart of Jesus Christ, who bled and died on the cross of Calvary and wept tears over the sinners of this world. Amen. You'll do it with the hand of the mighty God reached out saying, I'll help you over the rough spots. I'll make a way where you don't think there ever would be a way. Amen. You'll go to hell with Jesus Christ reaching for you every step of the way. You'll walk over the blood of Jesus Christ. You'll shut your ears to the call of the prayers of the saints of God. You'll block your mind to the wooings of the Spirit and go headlong into destruction. And walk out of this old world never experiencing or having lost what God intended for you to have.
Oh, hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. I promise you tonight that Jesus invested his life's blood, his pure holy blood, in your soul. Amen. He paid for you already. Paul said, we are not our own. I am not my own. He knew it. Do you know it? I am bought with a price. The blood of Jesus Christ bought my soul at Calvary. Hallelujah. And I'm going to glorify God in my body and in my spirit, which belongs to God. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.
Amen.
Praise God. I'll tell you about another man that died doing what he was wanting, what he liked to do. The man that was my pastor. Precious old man of God. My dad was dead and gone when I came to the Lord. But this man was like a father to me. But I've heard him say a lot of times, he'd say, When the Lord gets ready for me, I'd like to be preaching. Or I'd like to be out in a cemetery just having the last rites of a saint of God and see that dead in Christ rise first and feel the tug of the Spirit to lift me off of the ground. He said it so many times. One Sunday night, while he was in church, he was carrying on the earlier part of the service, standing in his pulpit, worshiping God and leading the service. And all at once, a terrible pain hit him in the head and just almost knocked him to the floor. He turned the service to Brother Hubert Shipman, his assistant pastor, and sat down. In 10 minutes, he was unconscious. They hauled him home. They called a doctor. He came out there. The doctor said, "There's nothing I can do. He's had a massive hemorrhage of the brain, and he'll be gone in a short time." Before that night was over, he slipped on out to be with Jesus. But I've thought it so many times. He died doing what he liked to do. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. I've gone from home some by myself, and I've told the family, if I die out there on the road, somebody runs into me, and I'm out there trying to do something for God, don't weep about it. You know I died doing what I like to do. Hallelujah. If I get off somewhere and this old heart quits beating, that's all right. Amen. God's going to keep it going just as long as he wants it to go. Keep this old body going. And when I have nothing else that God intends for me to do, I don't want to stay here anyway. Amen. Hallelujah. But I'm going to tell you this. The last 36 years, this old world has been an exciting place for me. And I believe I'm getting more excited all the time. I am so excited sometimes I lay down to supposed to go to sleep. And I'm so excited I can't even get myself turned off, you know. Amen. So thrilled. Just, I know Jesus. God blessed me. God loved me. He forgave me of all of my sins. He reached down and got just an old country boy. Amen. And brought him to him and washed me and made me whiter than the snow. He revealed his word to me. He poured out his spirit on me. I love him. I love him. I love him. Hallelujah. And Paul said the time he spent before he met Jesus was just filth, just wasted. Just wasted. He said, "I counted all nothing. It was all just loss. Even the things that people would brag about. I am a Pharisee. I have been educated at the feet of Gamaliel." You think about the young fellas in that day, how they go around and brag about their education, you know. "I was educated by the greatest philosopher in our day. I am of the stock of Benjamin, a Pharisee of the Pharisees. I've got a lot of good pedigrees that I could unfold out here and say, that's where I came from. That was me." Paul could have done that, but no. He said, "Forget it all. I found something that's eclipsed everything. I found Jesus Christ, and he made me a new creature. Hallelujah. Now I'm living in a new world because I found what I was born for." Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. In a time when the kingdom had split, and Joab was David's captain, and Abner was the captain of the northern part, and he felt that he would go and collaborate with David and bring the kingdom back together. And so he went and had a conference with David, and they were about to start getting things worked out. David sent him on his way with his blessing, and in comes Joab and said, "What's that Abner been doing here?" You see, Joab was wanting to kill him. Because Joab's brother, Ahithophel, had chased Abner in battle, and he was a fast runner. And Abner said, "Is that you, Ahithophel?" He said, "Yes." He said, "Get away, quit chasing me, go chase somebody else, because I don't want to have to kill you, you're Joab's brother." And he just kept on. I said, "Get away. Get away," and he kept getting closer and closer and closer. And of course, Abner was a pretty skilled man, and that big old long spear that he had, he just took a jab backwards with it and jabbed it right through that boy's heart. He just fell by the side of the road dead. Well, that put the next of kin, the avenger of blood. But they had a grace provision built in that eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth, that conveniently located throughout the nation, three on each side of the river, was six cities called the cities of refuge. Amen. One of those cities of refuge was the city of Hebron, the city that Abner was from. And Abner went back to Hebron after he talked to David. And Joab went to the gate of Hebron. Now, in order to be safe from the avenger of blood, you had to stay inside the city. Amen. And Joab said, "Go tell Abner to come out here. I want to talk to him." And Abner didn't think. And he walked outside the gate, and Joab made some kind of small talk that threw him off guard. And when he got him involved in conversation and got his attention distracted, he slipped that dagger from beneath his cloak and stuck it right in beneath the fifth rib, right straight in his heart, and killed him. And so at the funeral, David followed the funeral procession weeping. And he made a little talk at Abner's funeral. And he said, "Oh, Abner, you died as a fool dieth. Your feet was not in stocks. Your hands was not in fetters. Nobody tied you up and killed you. You had the privilege and the responsibility to yourself to escape and stay in the city of safety. But you didn't do it. You ventured out just a little bit. Some folks get to where they're not as conscientious as they used to be." What disturbed me, you know, I see some folks that just come in that they don't hardly know what they believe, and they don't hardly know about convictions on anything. So they have to kind of pick it up from the ones that's been in. But what gets me is somebody that's been in for 30 years, and here they go back and start doing things that they quit 30 years ago. Amen. They lose some of the seriousness of staying in the city of safety. And they venture out just one time. "Oh, you know, this won't be bad. I'll venture out just a little." But somebody the other night, they missed church. And they really didn't have an excuse, this lady, and she's very conscientious. And she took two times, she said, "Brother Gray, I want you to forgive me for missing church Saturday night." And I said, well, I have, and you just talk to God about it, and I'm sure He will too, if you just remain it. But I said, I tell you what. I said, the next time you do it, it won't bother you near as bad.
Amen.
And if you'll do it a while, it'll get where it won't bother you hardly any. You can just, when it goes for anything else, you know. And, you know, after a while, it don't bother you like it did the first time. She caught on to what I was saying, you know. Amen. But I tell you, this is serious business. Amen. Hallelujah. 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 Abner, you died as a fool dies. Abner, that wasn't why you came here. Amen. It's not God's intention for us to live in this whole world without having the salvation that He purchased. Hallelujah. While we stand right now, I want you to know that if there's any sin between you and Jesus that hadn't been repented of, that He's very quick and ready to forgive you of those sins the minute you tell Him sincerely, Lord, I'm sorry. Forgive me of my sins. If we confess our faults before Him, He's just to forgive. Isn't that what it said? Amen. And though your sins were as scarlet, He'll make them as white as snow. Amen. Lord, I have missed out on something. I believe this, that people out there in the world that's reaching after this and that, and they've got to be doing something. They get carried away with all the things that's going on in the world. It's because there's something down deep inside of them that hasn't found what it takes to satisfy it. And they're still reaching for this and that and something else. But once they find this joy, they say this is above and beyond everything else in the world. It eclipses everything else that's going on. Amen. And they find that they have come to the place that they was made for. That they was born for. I want Brother Rutledge to take the service, conclude this with the invitation as he feels the Spirit is moving so heavily in this place tonight. Don't do this to yourself by going out of here without getting a hold of God and really finding why you're here. Amen.
They that wait upon the Lord shall renew
the altar's open.
Their strength.
And you that don't know the Lord,
they
should already be on your face calling on God tonight. Who's going to come and seek God? If you have a need in your life, you ought to be in this altar seeking God tonight.
They should run and not grow weary. They should walk and not faint.
Hallelujah. How about it, friends? Praise God. While saints of God feel a heavy need in their life, surely you that don't know God can feel the convicting power. Oh, they that wait upon the Lord. Who else is coming tonight? You feel your need of something from God in your life. Oh, they shall mount up as on wings of eagles. They shall
run and not grow weary.
Anybody else feel a need in your life? Amen. Come on, folks. There ought to be sinners in this altar crying out to God. Amen. You don't have the victory. Jesus died for you. Amen. I've wasted many precious years. Now I'm coming home. Come now,
tears.
Oh, Lord. Why don't you make that step tonight? I'm reaching for someone that needs to be in this altar. Why don't you come on tonight? I don't know a message like this. Don't continue in a life that God did not design for you. He intended for you to have the Holy Ghost. That's fine, sister. God bless you. God wants you to have the Holy Ghost. He wants you to have the Holy Ghost. Come on, someone else, come repenting. Oh, why? Anyone else coming? All right. Glory. I want you to pray. I want you to gather around these folks, Brother Grover and Sister Hendricks, these others that have a need in their life. Maybe you too want to just join us with calling on God with whatever need you have. Come on, make your way up front. Amen. Pray, believe, and receive from the Lord. Hallelujah. Everybody pray. Everybody. Hallelujah. Oh, glory. Glory, 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 glory. Come on, seek God. Come on, seek God tonight. Jesus, we love you. That's the way. Come right on and let's seek God together. Open wide. Oh, yes, Lord. Oh, glory. Hallelujah. Call on God. Everybody work. Everybody pray.